WMEL, Cocoa Beach, Melbourne.
It's 2 o'clock.
These cars and trucks have the previously recalled Takata airbags. This time, they may inflate while the car is simply running. Mark Rosekind with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Part of our ongoing vigilance was to make sure that the remedy was in fact effective. What we've learned is it was not fully effective. Since the remedy, there have been 39 inadvertent airbag deployments. We would expect with the fully effective, that would have been zero.
Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina Brown, was found unresponsive today in an Atlanta hospital. She's in an Atlanta hospital, I should say. Correspondent Frederica Whitfield reports she was found in a bathtub.
Her husband, Nick Gordon, actually found her along with another friend, found her in the tub, started CPR.
I'm Molly Page. It's been noted for some time that one or two drinks a day, especially red wine, can have health benefits. But now a new study says that all that changes when you get to three drinks a day. Joe Ramsey has more.
People over 50 who have more than two alcoholic beverages a day have a 34% greater risk of stroke than light drinkers. The study says those people are more likely to have a stroke 5 years earlier in life, regardless of genetics or other health habits. And the study also shows having more than two drinks a day poses a greater risk than diabetes and blood pressure for causing stroke. I'm Joe Ramsey.
NASA's declaring success after it launched its latest space project this morning. It has a catchy name, too, the Soil Moisture Active Passive Observatory. It lifted off from California's Vandenberg Air Force Base. The spacecraft is designed to study and map moisture that's locked in soil. Its findings could help residents in low-lying regions brace for floods or farmers prepare for any kind of drought conditions. I'm Molly Page.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. But with the PMI Advantage from Quicken Loans, you may never have to pay those expensive monthly mortgage insurance premiums again. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you that the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. Make the smart call and talk to one of our home loan experts today at 800-QUICKEN. You'll learn how the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
It's a complex film and a box office hit. Now, as correspondent John Stolness tells us, it's also the most successful war movie of all time.
I got a military-age male on a cell phone watching the convoy over.
With more than $217 million in box office receipts as of Thursday, Clint Eastwood's Iraq war drama American Sniper is now the highest-grossing war film of all time in the U.S. It passed Steven Spielberg's World War II epic Saving Private Ryan as the top war film in U.S. history, but Ryan still holds the edge in worldwide sales, totaling $482 million during its theatrical run. This weekend is the third weekend of wide release for Sniper and is expanding to even more theaters where it's expected to hold on to its number one standing for a third straight week. I'm John Stolness.
Texas is setting aside a day to honor Chris Kyle, the U.S. Navy SEAL marksman depicted in the film American Sniper. Governor Greg Abbott tweeted that he has declared February 2nd to be Chris Kyle Day in Texas. I'm Molly Page.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Better Business Bureau A-rated team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Call now for a free case review and a low price guaranteed quote to get you protected today. Call now. 800-299-1855. That's 800-299-1855. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-299-1855.
to the Dave Ramsey Show.
If you do rich people stuff, you will eventually become rich people. If you do poor people stuff, even if you're rich, you will become poor people. Poor people have some things they do. Rich people have some things they do. It's a state of mind. It's a belief system that leads you to things. Think. Do rich people stuff. Think like rich people. Learn how they think. And then make a decision to think like rich people. It'll change your life.
It's Dave Ramsey, 2 to 5 p.m. weekdays on AM 1300 WMEL.
From the WMEL Weather Center, here's your forecast for the rest of today. Mostly sunny with a high near 68. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 51 degrees. Tomorrow, a bit warmer but gusty winds. Partly sunny with a high near 74 degrees. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. Our next chance of rain won't come until Monday. Here, Ed Dean, weekday afternoons, 5 to 7 p.m. right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL and worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
AM 1300 WMEL.
The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Good afternoon. This is Donna Anselmo on AM 1300 WMEL. This is Bull Talk Radio, and I am your host for the afternoon from 2 to 3 o'clock in this time slot every week. And on Bull Talk Business Radio, we talk about insights, strategies, tips, and tools for success in your work and in your life. And every week, we bring on an expert to talk about a specific area of life or business that really can help you get where you want to be and very often stay out of trouble. And so today we are going to be speaking with, and I have live in the studio with me, Russell C. Weigel III, Esquire. And Russell is an attorney based in Miami, and he practices securities law. So what does that mean to you? That means that if you are in business and you are in the process of fundraising, or you're thinking about ways to develop more funding and getting investors for your business, there are ways to do it, and there are ways not to do it. And there are ways to do it where you actually limit your litigation risk. Well, Mr. Weigel has worked for the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission, and he's going to share with us some of the insights that he's developed in working for the commission, for the SEC, and in private practice since 2005, so, or shortly after.
2001.
2001. So he's continued doing transactional and litigation securities in practice since 2005 at his own law firm. So we'll just clarify that for you. So, Russell, can you tell me a little bit about why security is such an issue today? And before we do, I just want to have a little disclaimer here that the information that Russell Weigel is going to share with you is not intended to be legal advice for your particular circumstances. So if you have a particular case, you really need to consult legal counsel to apply any concept that you hear about on the show effectively for you. So, Russ, what is the biggest concern that you have when you're looking to protect a client from getting into trouble with the SEC when they want to raise money?
Well, the biggest concern is simply making sure that they plan their capital raise offering correctly and ensuring that in all aspects of it, in the planning and in the execution, that it's done in compliance with the law. Because the risks of errors give investors extra opportunity to come back at you and also for regulators to come back at you and really cause a lot of problems for you.
Right. So as we talked about earlier, there are ways to do things right and there are ways to do things that will open you up to all sorts of trouble down the line. We're going to talk about a lot of those ways over the next hour. And it's going to give you a lot of insight, not only into legal concerns and some of the stories that, you know, just happen out there because people aren't aware of some of the things that they're doing, or sometimes they're aware and they just let things go because they don't plan properly. But let's take it from the top and talk about what is
a security? I mean, for our listeners out there who are like, well, I don't do this every day. I don't really understand securities. Tell me what that is.
Well, in the most generic term, I guess you could say, it's an investment opportunity. And in every state and in federal law, a security is specifically defined to include many different variations of or many different types of investments. And some are obvious, like common stock, for example, or bonds, perhaps. Others are not so obvious, and they're really just investment opportunities that are captured both by case law and statutes, but not in ways that are obvious to the average person.
So if I come to you and I said, hey, I have this really good business idea, and I need you to lend me some money, is that the same as making an investment in my company?
Yes, it certainly can be.
So tell me what are some of the things we talked about, bonds, stocks? What are some of the ways that I can that you could invest in my company, per se?
Well, in a general broad brush, there's two ways to invest in a company. Most often people think of an investment in a company as being an equity participation of some kind. But it can also be the fact that you've invested in a bond offering or promissory note offering of some kind. So, in other words, a debt offering issued by the company, which the investor is expecting to receive a return from. Usually it's going to be interest, but it may also be a type of instrument that has a hybrid nature to it that involves also an equity participation.
So equity participation means I get some stake in your company, some stock or note that says at some point I get remunerated for this.
Right, that you're hoping to get a gain.
Right, and then if I'm promising hey, get involved with me because you're going to make money here. Once you talk about making money or getting profit, then it comes into a situation where it could be regulated, or possibly I know that it also can be exempt under certain terms. So let's talk a little bit about what is a registered investment. When do you actually have to register your offering or your, request for money from somebody?
The way the law is structured, every investment offering is required to be registered. That's across the board. And the law also has many exceptions for when registration is not required, provided that you comply with the strict details or qualifications that are attendant to each possible exception.
So that's like when somebody says, okay, well, if you do it this way, you're kind of flying under the radar. You don't have to have a lot of regulation involved.
Small companies are not differentiated in that respect. There's no the broad brush rule is that all offerings have to be registered. There are exemptions from that situation that allow for private offerings, mm-hmm. which is where most of the I would say most financings occur in this private offering market.
So when you're registering an offering, you're looking at things like who's doing the registration, you're disclosing financial projections. What are some of the things that need to be in that offering?
Well, ultimately, in the most basic sense, all material facts about the company, about its management and its prospects should be disclosed to prospective investors. And in a registered offering, there are many regulations that detail the kinds of information that companies have to disclose in both the stock offering and in the regular reporting to shareholders. And these rules don't directly apply to the exempt offerings, the ones that are offered pursuant to the exceptions from registration. But at the same time, all offerings have to have a disclosure of material facts. So in the end, the rules really are the same for both private and public companies.
It's really interesting in reading your book and your materials to see that these registration laws protect the investors. So the investor is protected, but if you're going to look at raising money, the SEC regulations aren't out there to protect you.
That's exactly right. The securities laws in the United States are designed to be pro-investor. They're designed to protect investors. There's certainly good policy for doing so because the system we have was created after the fall of the stock market in 1929. And ultimately, the securities laws help make America safer. They make it a safe place to invest. That's the goal. And so the theory was, you know, if we protect the investor and make it a safe place to invest, then people will do so, and that will, make the playing field between Wall Street and Main Street level.
Go ahead. One of the things that I was thinking about as you were talking is that registration is really important. But let's talk about is there a statistic about how many, you know, what's the comparison? Are most offerings done registration or registered with the SEC, or more done in private placement?
Oh, I think that relatively few are actually registered. Most of the market offerings, most of the financings of corporate America are done on the private exempt market. So they're done in small offerings that are not registered.
So let's talk a little bit about the difference between what's a public offering versus a private offering.
Well, the public offering is one that would be registered with the SEC. In many cases, they're also registered with the various states and where the investors reside. But these are offerings that are they're so-called fully disclosed offerings because anybody can buy them or buy the investment being offered. That is, you don't have to be qualified necessarily in terms of your level of investment experience or so forth to buy the investment. In a private offering, there are strict rules about who can be and how many people can get involved before the limits of the exemption are exceeded.
So in other words, if there's a public offering and stock goes public, I can buy it. Nobody's qualifying whether or not I have enough money to take that risk.
Well, in one sense, that is true. That now the securities industry also has its own requirements about determining investor suitability and so forth. But the answer to the question is yes. I mean, anybody, so long as they are able to contract, they're old enough to do so, and they're not incompetent. Yes, they can go and buy any stock that's registered in any offering. Yes, that's true.
So tell me a little bit about what makes a qualified investor for like a private placement?
Well, there are rules that determine whether or not you have the knowledge and sophistication or the financial wherewithal to participate in certain types of private offerings. Among those, for example, the world is sort of divided between accredited investors and unaccredited investors. And unaccredited investors are most of the country. Those are that's people on an asset basis have less than $1 million in liquid net worth, mm-hmm. generally speaking.
Right, but you can also have. I think there's an income, and whether your house is included, right?
Right.
In your wealth.
That's right. That's right. There's an income test. You could also qualify for to determine whether you fit the accredited standard, which is having an income over the 2 years prior to the investment opportunity or investment decision of having $200,000 in income. And the test for the asset basis is, I said, it's liquid net worth. So that excludes one's home, which is deemed to be illiquid.
Mm-hmm. So you might have $200,000, I think I read in your book, for an accredited investor has $200,000 in addition to the wealth of their house, and then $300,000 per client, per couple, I think I read in your book.
It's $300,000 in income per couple, but the tests are exclusive, so you could meet one or the other or both.
Okay, well, that's good to know. What when a company is getting started, a lot of times I've worked with numerous entrepreneurs, and sometimes they have blinders on and they are just looking at the one thing that they want, which is money. And what happens? What are the consequences for somebody who is just, come on, write me a check, and isn't following these systems for registering properly?
Well, I guess there's two ways to describe this reality of the risk they're taking. One is that so many people are doing it that way or conducting themselves that way that there's almost, you know, the safety in the pack, if you will. I mean, there's just so many people doing it incorrectly that the chances of a regulator actually targeting any individual is perhaps low. But on the other hand, you know, the fact that you're doing it incorrectly gives your investors, you know, the opportunity to come back at you. And so the ultimate risk for a company that raises capital incorrectly is certainly for all the executives that participate, all the people involved in selling the offering. They are certainly at risk reputationally. They are going to be individually, financially at risk, because the securities laws they impose individual liability on participants. Therefore, it doesn't matter if you have a corporation around you. If you were involved in the offering, you are individually liable, and so your personal assets are at risk.
Mm-hmm. And most people, I think, don't know that they're risking so much when they're starting a business or when they're asking for funds. They may not realize that they're actually invoking securities law when they just think they're just raising some money. We had a caller on the line. Our engineer, Wayne West, told us that someone had actually asked us to ask the question of this guest. And she's not still on the line, but your question that came to us through our computer here is how to raise funds for a brand new business. So I'm thinking that she's saying, where do you start? If I am a business and I am thinking about raising funds, what would you advise me to do first?
Well, the sources of information that are available, in my view, are largely limited to attorneys who can tell you how to do it. Or people that have already been, let's say, run over by the securities regulated system, and they haven't experienced to tell you what not to do. I've written a book that I hope will shed light on the process and the considerations that executives or entrepreneurs should want to think about before they engage in this process. In other words, don't just run out and do it. That's what the book's about. The book is designed to protect people, protect executives and entrepreneurs from making essentially a rash error that can really put them at risk.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that book. That book is called Capital for Keeps: Limit Litigation Risk While Raising Capital. It's written by Russell C. Weigel III. And I happen to know that when you first did this book, you did it on your own, and then it was picked up by another publisher. So you've got a new version of this book coming out, too. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I self-published it last summer, and then within a month, I gained a contract with a publishing company. And that version is now live, and mine is discontinued. So the publisher's version is now out and available in bookstores across the United States, and it's also available on the capitalforkeeps.com website.
Yeah, we're going to keep Russell with us today and on an ongoing basis. He's going to come back and give us monthly reports on what's happening in this market and how our listeners who are looking at raising capital can think on a month-to-month basis even about some of the things that they have to do to keep themselves out of trouble. One of the nice comments on this book is that it is a great guide for small company executives. If it doesn't help you and scare you at the same time, you weren't paying attention. That's really interesting. So this book then really does kind of put the fear of God into you.
Absolutely right. That was my intention because in my experience, I have two practice areas. And one is that
Go ahead. Yeah.
I lost the...
Oh, don't worry about it. You know, this is live radio, folks, and we've got a little issue with the mic headset here, but it's not a problem. Russell,
Go
right ahead. You can even take it off.
Oh, all right. Well, I was starting to say... I'm sorry.
We're hearing you, so go right ahead. We're hearing you on the radio, Russell Weigel. Russell C. Weigel, Capital for Kips, for Capital for Keeps, Limit Litigation Risk While Raising Capital. And we're talking about his book. And one of the neat things on this book cover here is that one of the former commission chairs of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission actually wrote a very nice testimonial for the book, which is that this book is available for capital raisers and boards of directors as they try to follow complex regulations to avoid the risk of litigation. And so one of the things that we had talked about earlier was you have to make a proper statement. You have to create a disclosure to your investors about your company. And one of the things is you have to disclose information about who's on the board, what's their management experience, what's the likelihood that they're going to be successful, what are the projections of the company. But on the other hand, it's really important also, and I learned this by reading your book, that you have to qualify the people investing in your company because those people are going to be with you for a long time, one way or another. And so to reduce your risk of an investor coming back to bite you, what are some of the things you need to be concerned about?
Well, ultimately, you know, it's my advice that companies, you know, really need to qualify the investors that they're soliciting. They have to do it anyway because they have to make sure they don't run afoul of the various exemptions because there are strict requirements about who can invest and what the nature of their backgrounds are. But you should want to do it anyway because certain characteristics of people in general you should know about because you should know who your shareholders are going to be or may be because, for example, they may have histories that you can find out by doing a little research on them that would suggest that they may be extremely litigious.
Right, and we live in a litigious culture. I know just from being in business myself, and I had a conversation with another businessman. I'm a businesswoman, but with a businessman earlier in the week who had a customer who just complained about everything. So if you are, and you know, the fellow did the job right, but the customer has a mindset where I guess or a personality where she likes to complain. So if you have a customer who is a potential investor in your company, but you know them to be very critical and maybe vengeful, you really need to think about who that person is and how that person is going to affect your business going forward as an investor, wouldn't you say, Russ?
That's right. And you had mentioned, you know, I have a situation where, you know, people just want to, you know, get the investment money, but they're only thinking about the money. It's got to be more than that, or it ought to be more than that for their own protection.
Well, what's really interesting, and we have about a half a minute left, and then we're going to come back with Russell after the news break. But for this last half a minute, I'd like to leave our listeners with the thought that whatever you're doing in business, whether you're raising capital, making a sale, prospecting, you're going to be thinking and focusing on your relationships because if you don't build a good relationship with people, and the relationship comes from trust and the trust may come from disclosure. So what do you have to say to that? And we're going to come back on the next.
AM 1300 WMEL.
From the WMEL Weather Center, here's your forecast. Today, look for a high near 68 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 51. Tomorrow, partly sunny and warmer with a high near 74, a little bit gusty. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. And on Monday, some showers enter the forecast. Here, Dave Ramsey, weekday afternoons, 2 to 5 p.m. right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL and worldwide at 1300WMEL.com. Come take a walk on the wild side at the Senior Safari Senior Expo at the Brevard Zoo, Friday, February 6th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Free zoo entry to visitors 55 and older. Pick up the new Boomer Guide. Enjoy live steel drum music and one-man band, Mark Dobson. Senior Safari Senior Expo is sponsored by Senior Life Newspaper, Brevard Zoo, Health First, Wusthof, Boomer Guide, and Inspired Living at Palm Bay. Extra parking and shuttle at the Holiday Inn Vieira. Call 242-1235 or visit BoomerSeniorExpo.com.
AM 1300 WMEL.
A massive recall, this time about 2 million Toyota, Chrysler, and Honda vehicles are being called back to fix faulty airbags again. And once again, many of these cars and trucks have the previously recalled Takata airbags. Correspondent Renee Marsh.
The issue here is a faulty sensor. And what this faulty sensor does is it causes the airbag to deploy sometimes while the car is running, while the individual may be driving, or even causes the seatbelt to tighten. All of this happening without the car being involved in a crash.
Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina Brown, was found unresponsive today at a home just outside of Atlanta. Police say she was breathing when she was taken to the hospital. Another winter storm is brewing over the southern Rockies, and it's headed to the Midwest. Forecasters say it could drop up to a foot of snow on parts of Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan this week. The storm expected to make its way to New England on Monday. I'm Molly Page.
From the WMEL Weather Center, here's your forecast. Today, look for a high near 68 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 51. Tomorrow, partly sunny and warmer with a high near 74, a little bit gusty. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. And on Monday, some showers enter the forecast. Here, Dave Ramsey, weekday afternoons, 2 to 5 p.m. right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL, and worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
Health First Health Plans presents Understanding Medicare.
When you turn 65 and are eligible for Medicare, you're faced with many questions about your health insurance options, and you're not alone. In today's Understanding Medicare, we're going to answer a question you may have about Medicare. What are Medicare Advantage plans?
A Medicare Advantage plan provides comprehensive health plan options through a private insurance company that has a contract with Medicare. Medicare Advantage plans offer all the coverage of original Medicare plus extra benefits like gym memberships.
Understanding Medicare, presented by Health First Health Plans.
WMEL 1300 Cocoa Beach, Melbourne, Palm Bay. Nominated Business of the Year by the Cocoa Beach Regional Chamber of Commerce.
Orlando clarinetist Syl LaFada and his quartet bring straight-ahead jazz in a live concert Sunday, February 8th, 2 p.m. at the Cocoa Beach Country Club. Syl LaFada is compared to Benny Goodman on the clarinet. Backup musicians are Ron Hurdle on bass, Rich Abrahams on piano, and Stan Siloco on drums. Tickets are $10 for Jazz Society members, $15 for non-members, and may be purchased at the door. For more details, log on to spacecoastjazzsociety.org. I'm Bobby Vance with the Space Coast Jazz Society, and we're glad that WMEL cares about the space and Treasure Coast.
Glorious, fresh powder.
A snowy, wintry bounty from the sky above.
That's Timberline Resort, located in wild, wonderful West Virginia.
It's heaven, and it's so close, you're almost there.
Step out of Timberline Hotel and Suites and hop right on a lift.
Stargaze while you night ski on the White Lightning Trail.
Experience glade skiing adventure
on freshly powdered tree-lined trails.
Call 1-800-SNOWING.
Or log on to TimberlineResort.com.
It's like heaven.
You're almost there.
Your home for Orlando Magic basketball is AM 1300 WMEL.
Here comes Victor trying to squeeze in. He'll stop. He'll pop 18 feet out. Nothing but bottom. Wow. That's a beautiful play.
The Magic begin one of their toughest stretches of the season as they host Dirk Nowitzki and the Dallas Mavericks. Dennis Newman and Richie Adubato will have the coverage Saturday from Amway Center, starting with the pregame show at 6:30, followed by the tip-off at 7. On your home for the Magic for 23 years on the Space Coast, AM 1300 WMEL.
AM 1300 WMEL.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Hello again, this is Donna Anselmo, and we are live at AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. And Bull Talk Business Radio is the place you want to come for insight to how to make your business pop for you, how to make it go really well, how to make your life work
in conjunction with your business. We talk a lot about business and life wellness on this show. And today we have a guest expert with us, Russell Weigel, who wrote the book Capital for Keeps. And we were speaking with him on the half session just before this last segment of the hour. And we were talking about how you limit litigation risk while raising capital, which is the subtitle of his new book, Capital for Keeps. And actually, he wrote this book himself, put it on the market out there by himself. It was immediately, within a month, picked up by a new publisher. And so a new version of the book is coming out very shortly. It's actually out, right?
Yes, it's
Russell,
out.
Thanks for being with us. Tell us a little bit about the new book.
Well, the book is designed to really just educate entrepreneurs and executives and kind of open their eyes to the risks that they're facing when they embark on a capital raise. And so the book is a product of my 25 years of legal experience. And my practice is, it's both a defense practice and a consulting practice, if you will. And so really I'm hoping that I can prevent or protect executives and entrepreneurs that are, you know, thinking about doing a capital raise, and hopefully educate them before they get involved in the process and keep them out of having to become my defense clients.
That's awesome. And I love the book myself. You know, you start to pick up a book like this and you go, really? Is this the book for me? Well, if you're in business and you're thinking about raising money, this is definitely the book for you. And I can tell you, Russell, that we have had on the line another caller who called in and has a question. She's a little shy, doesn't want to go on the air, but she has left a question with our engineer, which was, how does she contact you, Russell C. Weigel, in Miami? So maybe we've given your website for the book, which is capitalforkeeps.com. But why don't we give your office phone number so that our guest out there can jot it down? So make sure you have a pen. And if you're interested and you're thinking about building a business and you're thinking about getting investors for your business, get your pen ready right now, because Mr. Weigel is going to give his office number to you.
Ooh, I don't know if I can do that under the Florida bar rules, but...
Well, then, you know what we could do is we can have you, our guest, leave your phone number at the desk with our engineer today, or whoever answers the telephone, just leave your name and number with us, and we'll have you be able to contact him.
Or the safest thing for me, I guess, under our regulated legal environment is that... because I am the author of the book, and that's why I'm here on the show, it's to reach out through the book's website. And you can send an email. You can find the book and the website at www.capitalforkeeps.com. And there's the ability to send a message to the author, myself.
Well, that reminds me of something I read in your book that was so impressive, and it was just at the beginning of the book, and it was a little anecdote about a client that you were going to meet. And he saw you come out of a building, and instead of crossing to the building directly across the street from you where you had to go, you actually turned to the left, went to the corner, crossed the street, made another right, and went back the other half a block when it would have been very easy to jaywalk. And in your book, it tells a story about the customer, the client, who was like, wow, if that guy follows rules to the letter, the way you just did on the call with me on the air, concerned about doing things properly, then that is why our listeners out there really would want to call you, because you're not going to fly under the radar or skirt the system.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I thought that was a great little story. It was very visual, too, because when you're on the air and all people are hearing are voices, sometimes it's really good to have the picture. So picture that. You're out in a building, you can see the street, but you're going to walk around the corner and do it the right way and come back up the street and enter the building the way that you should. When you have somebody who is going to represent you and you're business is on the line, or your integrity is on the line, you want somebody who lives by integrity, and that is just one example of it. So, Russell, before we took this break, we were talking about relationships with people and how you qualify an investor for your company, because it's not just about qualifying yourself. A lot of times when you're looking for money, you're puffing yourself up and you're saying, okay, these are all the great things about me, but maybe turn the tables and say, Why should I let you invest in my company? Because I want you to be able to at some point earn a profit on it. But why you?
Well, I think that the temptation for many entrepreneurs is that, you know, when the cash in the account is low, they tend to get desperate and be seeking the person to come in and save them with the checkbook. And certainly that's a very real consideration for many entrepreneurs, but they also have to think, you know, what am I doing? Like, you know, what's this money going to cost me in the future? Because it may solve the immediate need, but it may not be worth it in the long run. You got to really know who's giving it to you.
Sure, because we talked a little bit earlier about people being litigious. But what about if you're trying to run your company and somebody's calling you every day, wants to eat up your time to find out, you know, how they're doing, how you're doing, what you're doing, because they have made an investment in your company. You're going to obviously want to talk with them. But at the same time, you've got to get your job done. So it's just like another little thing. Know the people that you're getting in bed with or in business with.
Oh, that's right? Absolutely right.
Yeah. So what I want to tell our listeners right now, that you're listening to AM 1300 WMEL. This is Donna Anselmo, host of Bold Talk Business Radio in the 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock hour. We're with attorney Russell C. Weigel, whose experience is in securities law. And he is here today and will be ongoing with us to talk about how you make sure that you're doing things right so that you are protecting your business and protecting yourself and protecting your family. And for the caller who called earlier and wanted to speak with our attorney, I want to let you know that there's a phone number out there just in case other listeners want that same phone number. So the phone number for the station, and you can always reach me, Donna Anselmo, and ask for contact information. But the number at the station is area code 321-631-1300. So you can write that down and you can call in and ask us your questions. The other thing to know is that if you are interested in reaching Russell Weigel, as we talked about in the last segment also, is reach him through his website, Capital for Keeps. That's www.capitalforkeeps.com. So we've been talking a lot in this hour about the difference between public offerings, private offerings, and now there's something else that's going on out there, which came along with the advent of the internet and the ongoing development of the internet, which is something called crowdfunding. And I wanted to ask our guest Russell Weigel about that. Like, how does crowdfunding fit into this? And crowdfunding is where you go on the internet and you're just asking a whole bunch of people you don't know to invest in whatever it is you're doing. And there are lots of little nuances to that.
Well, crowdfunding is a term that's kind of broadly applied to many different situations. And there are certain kinds of crowdfunding that are presently legal in the United States. And those are essentially the kinds of funding opportunities that have always been legal, such as being able to receive donations and for certain situations, companies can ask for investors, not investors, but purchasers to prepay for a purchase, which may enable the company to fund the development of the product, but the purchaser is not going to receive an equity participation or debt participation in the company. They're going to get a product. And so that situation is often called crowdfunding, but it's not the kind that we're speaking of here, where investors get involved. The kind that involves investors is not legal yet. There are rules published by the SEC. They're preliminary, but they have not gone into effect. And until they do, investment crowdfunding, as I call it, is and will be illegal until those rule proposals actually get enacted.
Thank you. And I know that there are some websites out there that you might want to look at if you're sitting out there and you're driving in your car and you're going to get home and go, what was that crowdfunding thing about? There's some websites I can tell you, not coming from Russell, but from me. Kickstarter.com is one. Rocket Hub is another. And while we're talking about that, I just want to let you know that this is educational material. It is not intended to be legal advice, what we're talking about today. If you need legal advice, you are looking to implement any of this information, you need to consult legal counsel in order to apply any of the concepts that we discussed on the show. Sometimes you can have just enough knowledge to be dangerous, so it's really good to make sure that you protect yourself by talking with somebody whose job it is to help protect you, and that would be an attorney who is knowledgeable about securities law if you're asking people for an investment. So when I'm in a business, and I've been in big corporations, I've worked for multi-billion-dollar corporations, and I've worked for small startups, and I've watched people on both sides raise money, either through employee investors who have stock in the company, or through doing private placement memorandum, or doing a little raise-up with family and friends. So when you've got a company going, but you want to raise money now to develop a new product or to make a new business line or something, or to build another company that's going to be a sister company to what you're working on already, and now you're starting to raise money, how does the management culture of your company influence your ability and the things that you do and the way what you're doing is perceived by your employees and potential investors? What do managers need to think about if you're doing a raise up in your company?
Well, one of the paramount considerations in any offering of investments is that the company make available all material facts about the company and its management and its prospects to the prospective investors, or at least give them access to that information. And when you're talking about what is management's integrity? What do they do when no one's looking, and how do they behave? And that is an issue that is sometimes referred to as qualitative materiality. Basically, it could be viewed by investors that later become unhappy with the company, that if they had known what management was up to, if there was some kind of activity that was going on at the company that wasn't being disclosed to investors. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Some years ago, there was a case called SEC versus the Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company. And in that case, Schlitz Brewing, which is the beer company, was accused of basically paying kickbacks to its retailers to keep beer on the shelves. And the SEC came in and brought a case against the company and its executives, I believe, certainly the company. And what they were saying was, you didn't tell investors that, these little bad things that the company's doing. And the company's attitude was, well, we don't have to tell you because, first of all, you don't regulate beer, you the SEC. And secondly, the kickbacks that we paid, they weren't of sufficient amount to really make a difference. I mean, it was only 3% of our earnings that we paid out to sort of fund this illegal distribution scheme. And it had nothing to do with the securities laws. Well, the court, went with the SEC on that, as it often does. And essentially it said that, that the dollar amount is not as important in all circumstances as the issue of the integrity of management, because shareholders would think it material to their investment to know that, if the company's engaging in some kind of misconduct that ultimately can affect the value of their investment, I mean, that's certainly going to be material to their considerations. And so qualitative materiality is as important as quantitative materiality. So what you tell, or if you make a mistake on in your financial information, that could be said to be quantitative misstatements or quantitative material.
Mm-hmm.
Material
so the numbers are off.
Right, the numbers are off. But the the nuance is you know, what is management's behavior? Do they have
let me stop you there and ask you a question. What kind of steps can management take to make sure they are not going to get in trouble down the line?
Well,
it's a big area that I'm asking about, but I think one of the parts of that probably have something to do with who you're communicating to, how often you're communicating, how upfront you are with information. Maybe you can just address that.
Well, in the public company context, it's mandated that the companies report every so many months to investors and to the SEC what has been the results of their operations and what management's outlook on report is on its results.
So what would be some of the alarm bells for investors in regards to some of the things that that companies are doing financially or otherwise?
What are some of the alarm bells?
Yeah, well, integrity of management and making sure that they're doing the right things is one of the things that you should consider. Maybe what you learn or you're knowing about the founder of a company or checking out somebody's history, procedures for how they do things in a company. What are some of the things you should look for if you're going to invest in a company?
Well, it's probably easier and more relevant to talk about what's going on in private companies.
Okay, let's talk.
And if you're an executive and you're thinking about doing a capital raise, well, take a look at yourself in the mirror and look at your company. What about it would you think would make an investor want to invest with you? And so there's a self-assessment process that, you know, I take people through, but at the end of the day, you know, I mean, one of the things that that sort of separates, you know, the companies that are going to be stronger and probably more successful from the others is simply whether they've established internal procedures that are formalized so that investors can have confidence that, you know, when their money is invested, that first of all, management's going to use it like they said they would, and that there's certain controls to make sure that the assets in the company just don't disappear one day.
Right.
So that the company itself has integrity and has sufficient regimen within to not to guarantee, but to assure investors that things are going to be done well in the company.
Right. Well, I remember a case of a client that I had worked with years ago who had a situation of having invested. There are people who invested in a company, and the the CEO of the company that raised the money was off on trips to the, you know, Far East or trips to Europe, taking people with him, buying fancy watches. Well, those were not the things that investment capital was put in there to do.
Well, that is a so-called use of proceeds scenario. And, I think savvier investors will require executives and companies that they're proposing to invest in to put in writing in the investment agreement that they make, require the company to use the investment monies only for certain specified things, or perhaps in ratios in relation to other spending. So they have limits. The company has limits on what they can do with the money. And,
right. And one of the things that we were talking about and that you talk about in your book is that, you know, your book is really designed not for the investor so much as the person who's soliciting for the money. So the message in this for the person who's soliciting is to cross the T's, dot the I's, button up the way you're managing your business, and stay really attuned to the details. So you talk about what is integrity? How do you define that?
I'm sure there's a dictionary definition, which I don't have in front of me, but essentially, you know, doing what you say that you will do.
It's walking the talk. And it's also doing what you say you're going to do when nobody's looking. Nobody would know. It doesn't specifically prohibit you. And I know this because I read your detailed notes. When when nothing would prohibit you from doing it, but it doesn't make good sense, or it, you know, it's just not necessarily the right thing to do, even if you never saw it in writing.
Well, there's a cost to doing things right. There's always a cost, and you know, and people oftentimes are tempted to take shortcuts. And you know, one of the lessons, if you will, of the book is simply that you got to weigh these things in advance if you can, and think about it.
Yeah, and we're talking with Russell C. Weigel, author of Capital for Keeps, Limit Litigation Risk While Raising Capital. And we're talking about how important it is to protect yourself with a good plan for raising money, to do things in the right way, take the right steps. Russell, you mentioned that there's a cost to doing things right, which obviously means time for legal consultations, taking the time to draft the documents you need, doing all your proper research and buttoning up your shoes. But there's also a cost to doing things wrong, and the cost to doing things wrong, or the cost to not doing the right things, can be even bigger.
Absolutely right. I mean, I tell prospective clients I carry two business cards. You know, they look the same, but one is my capital raising card, and the other one's my get out of jail free card. And the one that is going to cost them the least is the planning one, and the one that is defense oriented. That's a much more serious and much more expensive endeavor.
Right. And speaking of what's going to cost you even less than either of those two cards is purchasing the book, Capital for Keeps, Limit Litigation Risk While Raising Capital. Because if you read this book, you're going to get a really good idea of what you should be doing. That said, even the book will tell you, retain a qualified attorney to advise you if you are going out asking for funding. Russell, we have just a few minutes left. What do you think is the most important thing for our listeners to get out of today's conversation?
Well, before you ever think about, going out and looking for investment monies, I think that you need to educate yourself into, certainly the process, but what are your risks and what are the costs and what are the best ways you can go about things? And so it's really a planning idea. You need to plan things, take time and think about how you can do it correctly. You may find it's just going to be too expensive for you to do it at that time. And then hopefully the book and its, material will dissuade you from actually stepping forward. But maybe now is not the time. Maybe you can wait till later.
Well, that's a very good point, is you have to know when to jump in, because there are so many things that go on in developing a business and in deciding whether, you have legal risk with the SEC and the way that you do things to raise money. But there's also a risk to any business and to knowing what's happening, that what part of your business can be in your control and what part's out of your control. A lot of things is what are the trends that are going on around you and that you have to be really cognizant of. But one of the areas also that you mention in your book is that, we've got just a minute left, is that if you have a company and you are forming a legal liability corporation, you've got partners in there. The partners can technically be considered an investment. So you have to be able to plan for that too, both if things go well and if things go wrong. What say you, Russell Weigel?
That's right. Just... FYI. I just lost my train of thought.
Okay, we're going to pick that up in our next segment, because we've only got a few seconds left. And again, I want to thank Russell Weigel for being with us today. We were talking about the fact that if you have a legal liability corporation, make sure that you plan ahead for what could go wrong. And if it goes wrong, how you're going to divorce your partners effectively and stay friends.
Passive investment. That's the key. If you think you have a passive investment situation, that is a warning that it might be a security.
Okay, well, this is Donna Anselmo at AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. We hope you'll come back and listen to us again next week. And Russell's going to be in again with us later in the month in February. So come back and learn a little bit more about how to run your business.
Thank you, Donna.
From the WMEL Weather Center, here's your forecast for the rest of today. Mostly sunny with a high near 68. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 51 degrees. Tomorrow, a bit warmer but gusty winds. Partly sunny with a high near 74 degrees. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. Our next chance of rain won't come until Monday. Hear Ed Dean weekday afternoons 5 to 7 p.m. right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL, and worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
WMEL, Cocoa Beach, Melbourne.
It's 3 o'clock.